Good morning, boys and girls. Yeah, good morning, church. It's good to see you guys here, and even though we are here in the sanctuary this morning, we're actually going to listen to our kids' church lesson, right? So, welcome to kids' church for the rest of us. So, this morning, I wanted to begin with this, well, just a statement, I guess, something for you guys to think about. Think of something that you do really well. Can you guys think of something? Yes? Okay. So you have that thought in your head. I want you to kind of put that thought away to the side. We're going to go revisit this later today. But actually, I wanted to recap and kind of give the rest of us a summary of what we've been learning. Because if you guys actually have remembered, we've been learning about the Israelites and the book of Exodus for the last 2 months. 2 whole months, actually, since August. So we want to be able to tell our older friends here in the sanctuary what we've been learning so that they have a better idea. Okay, so how do we start off? Where did we learn? We started off with a man named Moses. Do you guys remember? Yes. So a man named Moses, he was a baby, and God had protected him from death. Okay, he prepared Moses with an upbringing, with a God-honoring upbringing, and a royal education in Pharaoh's court. And then we kind of fast forward because he grows up, right? He grows up and he meets God at the burning bush. And when he meets God at the burning bush, he experiences God's power. So God calls him to serve. And Moses, how does Moses respond? How does he respond? He responds in obedience, right? In faith. He obeys in faith, and God sends Moses as his leader to rescue his people. So God's chosen people, the Israelites, where are they? Hello? Anybody awake this morning, boys and girls? Where are the Israelites? They're in Egypt. And what are they doing in Egypt? They were slaves to Pharaoh, okay? So Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. And because of his unwillingness, God had sent 10 plagues on Egypt. God also hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so God did this, hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that the Egyptians would know that he is the Lord. And at the final plague, which was the plague of death, killing his very own son, Pharaoh finally lets God's people go. Are you with me? Yes, okay. Some of you are with me. The Israelites escape from Egypt. And then when they're escaping from Egypt, what happens? Okay, Pharaoh's a man who's like probably changing his mind a lot. Logan. Yeah, he goes after them again. You're right. Okay, he changes his mind and he lets his people go, God's people go. And then he changes his mind and says, no, wait, I want to go after them and I want to kill them. And so he changes his mind and sends his army of 600 to go after the Israelites. And so the Israelites, do you think that they are terrified at this point? Yes? Yes, they are, right? If you say no, bless you for saying no, because then you have courage. If you were one of them, you probably would be just as terrified, because I would be terrified too if I saw that there was an army of 600 chasing after me and the rest of the people. Then I would be scared, because why? We come to a sea, and it's a Red Sea. And where do they go? No boat. How can I swim? It's too far. I'm going to drown, right? So there's no hope at this point. They're thinking, there's no hope. We're going to die. They're going to chase after us. They're going to kill us. We're doomed. But even though they're terrified and they think that there's no hope, God makes a way and he splits the Red Sea apart, okay? Divides the walls of water for them to cross. The Bible actually says that they cross on dry ground. That's amazing, isn't it? The water split, they get to go across. And then the armies chase them, and what happens? They die, of course, because God closes the walls of water, and they're drowning in there. But God continues to provide for his people. He guides them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, right? Now, these Israelites, we have learned about these people. And what kind of people are they? Does anyone know? Well, yeah, they were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt, but they were people who were so good at complaining. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It does. It sounds quite familiar. Each and every one of us are like that. We complain a lot. And so these Israelites are complaining. They're complaining as they journey. And after they've eaten all of their food, what do they complain about? I'm so hungry. And if you're in the desert and you're hungry, I'm sure they're hangry, right? Because it's so hot and they're hungry and they're all just feeling really hangry at this moment. So the Israelites are just complaining. They complain to Moses. At this point, I would hate to be Moses. Why? Because all you hear is complain, 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 complain. And there's nothing encouraging about that. But God is a God who provides, and he loves his people, okay? He sends quail and manna. Manna in the morning, every day comes manna. Evening comes quail. And they're fed. They have lots of food. But then they journey and they take their way, they're walking to the wilderness, and then again, they complain. This time, what do they complain about? Water, because after you eat, you gotta have something to drink, right? And so they're thinking here, oh, we're so thirsty, and there's nothing to drink, and now they're complaining. But instead of calling in faith upon God, they complain to Moses again. God loves his people, no matter how unfaithful they are, and the lack of trust that they have, God knows his people, and he still loves them. He provides for them. He provides water from a rock. And then, a couple weeks ago, we learned about the Ten Commandments. Do you guys remember that? The Ten Commandments, how they traveled to the foot of Mount Sinai, and God spoke to his people. When they had heard thunder and a loud blast of a horn, they saw lightning and smoke coming from the mountain. They stood at a distance. What does the Bible actually say? Were they jumping for joy? No. What does the Bible say? They were scared. Actually, the Bible says that they were trembling with fear. They were more than scared. They were terrified, right? And so the Israelites here, God presents the Ten Commandments, gives it to them, and they should know all these commandments. But last week, you guys learned about how the Israelites worshipped a golden calf. Do you guys remember studying about that? Yes. And one of the commandments was, you shall have no other gods before me. But what do they do? What do the Israelites do? They make a calf and they worship this calf as a form of idol, right? So when Moses was up on the mountain, he was probably up on the mountain for a long time receiving God's laws. And these people were really anxious. They're thinking, what happened to Moses? He disappeared. Is he coming back? And so now they've lost contact. They probably thought they also lost contact with God. And so they fell back on what was familiar to them. And of course, Aaron led the people in disobeying God's second command. Okay, so last week we learned about how only God deserves our worship. But today, that moves us on to today's lesson. And today's lesson is how the Israelites build the tabernacle. All right? Can I get Zachy and Luke and Matthias to come up here? I'm going to get some of my readers to come up here. They're going to read for me. So this passage here is quite lengthy. As you can see, we're not going to read through the whole two chapters of 35 and 36. So I picked a few verses for us so that we can actually see and understand what God has called the Israelites to do and how they respond to his call. Let me get you a mic. Is this one on? Hello? Let's see if it's on. There we go. Oh, actually, here's the last one. I'm going to get Zaki. Okay, Zaki's going to read first.
And then Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram's eye stud, red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lights, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece."
Yeah, it's the same. It's okay. Okay. And then Luke?
Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, or the other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it.
Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite offerings for all the work the Lord brought Moses had commanded them to do.
All right. Thank you, boys. You guys can come and sit down back to your seats. Thank you for reading for us this morning. So as you can see that there are these scripture readings, I've underlined some things, all right? So I've underlined, let's go back. Moses said to the whole community, "From what you have, take an offering to the Lord." This is what God has told Moses to say. And how did they react? The community reacted by withdrew. They went away from, they left the presence of Moses, and they brought an offering to the Lord. Okay. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work that the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. All right, today's Bible point is we all can serve God. Can you guys say that with me? We all? Yeah, we all can serve God. And so, this morning, let's get started with our lesson. God gave Moses specific and detailed instructions for how he wanted the Israelites to build the tabernacle. If you guys just read that, there was a lot of things going on, right? So when Moses was on the mountain, God told him to tell the Israelites to make a tabernacle for him so that he may dwell among them. And we just read what Moses told the community in order to make the tabernacle. They were specific materials. Now, let's look at this. Before we get into it, we want to actually take a look and discover what is a tabernacle and what is its purpose. Who can tell me what is a tabernacle? Any ideas? No? No ideas? Well, let's go into it. A tabernacle is a sanctuary. It's a place for worship, all right? It is also means that it's a dwelling place. So it's like a shelter, a home where people live. It was a portable tent where God met with his people, And God gave the Israelites the tabernacle as a visual picture of his dwelling with them. So you guys got that? Dwelling means shelter. It's like a home, right? It's often seen as a refuge or a safe place. Now, God instructed Moses to have the people camp around the special tent so that his presence would be at the center of their lives. What does the word... Okay, before I get into that, okay, while God wanted to live with his people, God also provided separation between him and the Israelites. Why? Do you guys have any idea? When we learned about Israelites, what do you know about God? And what do we know about the Israelites? Yesterday, some of you guys were in Awana, okay? And for the grade threes and fours, I know that we learned about how God is holy. What does the word holy mean? What does the word holy mean? Who remembers? JJ. Without sin. So that means perfect, right? And God is a holy God, right? So the word holy means that he is sinless and he is perfect. God's powerful glory had scared the Israelites. Do you guys remember at the foot of the mountain what happened? I just said that to you guys earlier. What happened? They were terrified. How come we're all asleep this morning? Can we wake up a little bit? Okay, they were terrified. You remember that they were terrified? They were terrified when they had heard God, right? Because it was so loud. They were scared. His powerful glory actually had scared the Israelites. Now, our God is holy. And the word holy, like JJ says, means without sin. That he is sinless and perfect. It also means to be set apart. And that means that God is separated from all living things because he is above all things. He is the creator who created us, and he deserves our worship. All right? So what does that tell us? If you know God is holy, what does that tell us about the Israelites? Who are they? They're the Israelites. What? They are. Are they also holy? No. So? The Israelites were sinful people, right? They needed to be atoned for before entering into God's presence. The word atone means to repent, to turn away from sin. Now, the purpose of entering the court of the tabernacle was to enter the presence of God himself. The whole tabernacle was holy in that it was set apart for worship and sacrifices to God. Boys and girls, God wants us to be holy, living in a way that separates us from the world. So let's take a look at this a little bit deeper, all right? Inside the holy place, also known as the outer room, contained an altar where an incense offering was burned. It was used for burning God's special incense. See, it says altar of incense. And then the lampstand, the 7-branched gold candlestick, it lit the holy place for the priests. And then there was the table of showbread, also known as the bread of the presence. There were 12 loaves of baked bread, one for each tribe of Israel. Now, every part had its special purpose. And then we look at the most holy place, also known as the Holy of Holies, which was in the inner room. Okay, the inner room was separated from the outer area by a veil or a curtain. Okay. And there was only one item of furniture. What was it? The Ark of the Covenant, right? The Ark of the Covenant inside the golden rectangular box contained the 10 Commandments. It symbolized God's covenant, his promise with Israel's people. So, what is its purpose? The purpose is for God to live among his people, okay? Do you remember I told you that God loves his people? He desires to be with his people, right? Secondly, his dwelling be mobile. And so that means that God's presence would be with them wherever they go. And third, that they would bring their sacred offerings to God for worship. Now, this tabernacle was constructed that it would be assembled and taken apart for moving. Remember when God led the Israelites from a cloud? Do you guys remember? Well, now the cloud covered the tabernacle. God's glory filled the tabernacle, okay? If the cloud covered the tabernacle, the people would stay. And when the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the Israelites would move and take the tabernacle with them. So, you might be thinking, sacred offerings? What did the Israelites offer God? And how did they serve God with their offerings? Let's go to these questions, all right, to help us understand how the Israelites served God. But before we get into this question, we need to understand, what does it mean to serve? What does it mean to serve? To serve is to present something to someone. Serving, in a way, is giving back to God what he has given you, right? So let's take a look at this. We need to have the right attitude when we serve. Our motivation for serving must come from a love for God and our desire to be more like Jesus. Secondly, serving is not about ourselves. It's actually about other people, right? And serving ultimately brings us joy. It's not something that we should dread. Oh no, I have to serve today. We shouldn't be feeling that way, right? It should bring us joy. So let's take, for example, in John chapter 13, the story of how Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Do any of you guys remember this story? Yeah, maybe some of you do, right? So Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, do you think he actually said, oh, my goodness, your feet, they stink. I don't want to wash them. Did he react that way? No, not at all. He actually willingly washed. He didn't have to wash their feet, but he did. Why? Why did he do that? To show us. Well, yes, he is God, but he showed us that what serving is like, right? What it's supposed to be. When Jesus was on earth, he came to serve, not to be served. Right? So his example was an act of serving. Boys and girls, I'm not asking you that you need to wash people's feet in order to serve. That's not what I'm saying, right? There's so many ways we can serve and help other people. We're going to go into that later. But let's get back to this. What did the Israelites offer God? They offered their treasures. If you guys remember in the scriptures that the boys read, it said gold, silver, bronze, yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, leather, acacia wood, olive oil, spices, stones, gems, and jewelry. All of those things were mentioned, okay? And those things were what the Israelites had brought as their offering. All who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work that the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. The people kept bringing their offerings that they had more than enough. But how did they serve God with their offerings? Through their skills, their talents, and their abilities. It says that all those who were skilled among the workers made the tabernacle. And in chapter 36, it also tells us that God provided two men, Bezalel and Oholiab, the ability to teach others. So these two men actually were skilled at building and creating things. Okay, chapter 36. It says here that Moses, okay, said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He's filled them with skill to do all kinds of works, as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So Bazael and Aholiab, every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of the constructing of the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. So we see that they were given these skills and they taught others to do it as well. They also served by sewing. How many of you guys know how to sew? Anybody? Wow, there's a lot of you, okay? There's quite a number of you. Surprisingly, I thought nobody would actually raise their hand. But there's a number of you who know how to sew, and that is great because those who could sew made garments for Aaron and his sons when they served as priests. It actually says that they made these things with their expert hands. How many of you guys have actually created or built something with your bare hands? Anybody? Impressive, right? So maybe you made it out of Lego, maybe you made it out of clay, maybe you made it out of construction paper, whatever it is, you built something and you created something. You know what? If you've done that, then you would understand the time it takes, okay? Well, we come to the end of today's lesson, and this is what you might be thinking. What can I learn from all of this? Right? I don't have gold. I don't have silver, jewelry, goat hair, acacia wood stones, or gems. I don't have the same skill, talent, or ability that the Israelites had. I'm only a kid. I don't have much to offer. What if I'm not good at anything? Why do I even have to serve? Or maybe I don't even know where to begin and how to serve. All those questions are great questions. And if you're thinking more than that, then I'm sure they are also great questions. But remember, I asked you to think of something that you do really well. Have you thought of something by now? Yes. So what is that something that you do really well? Anybody? Did someone say sleeping? Oh, I hear you. I do that really well, too. But other than sleeping, what other things can we do really well? Reading. What else? Oh, I can't hear everybody all at once. But maybe you're thinking singing, maybe baking, maybe some of you are playing soccer or hockey and you do that really well, maybe telling stories, right? Maybe all those things are some examples of things you do really well. Well, I want you to think of that something that you do really well and ask yourself, how can I serve God? How can you serve God with that something you do really well? Perhaps it's something like as simple as doing chores and cleaning. Or maybe you're sewing and you're helping homeless people. Or moving around furniture. Actually, during the week of VBS, I remember Joanna and Abigail were helping to move furniture around. You went back and forth from the preschool kindergarten room all the way to the multi-purpose room. You know what? That was an act of serving, right? There's other ways that we can serve. But you know what, boys and girls? Today, you were up here. Remember 2 weeks ago, I told you that you were going to come into the sanctuary to be a part of the worship team. And what did I tell you? You are not here to perform, right? You're not here to perform. And as much as your parents and other people think that you're up here performing and you got all the cameras up and ready, everyone's watching you, you're not here to perform. Because why? You're part of the worship team and you are here to serve. So maybe some of you are thinking, I don't want to be here. You don't want to sing this morning. But you know what? When we give what we can to the Lord, he uses it, right? And so it's important to see the time, our talent, and our treasures as a means of serving God. Service is a choice we make. Each of us has God-given abilities and spiritual gifts, and God wants us to use what he has given us to serve and honor him in whatever ways we can. Listen. The only thing that is stopping ourselves, okay, our service to him is ourselves. Got that? The only thing that is stopping our service to him is ourselves. So, what is that something that you have that you could use to serve God? What is that something? I want you guys to think about that. You don't have to tell me, but I want you to think about it. Today's Bible memory verse comes from Colossians 3:17. It says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." What does that mean? I want you to listen carefully, boys and girls. Okay? Our eyes up here? Everybody's eyes up here. I want you to listen. When you do things with an attitude of wanting to serve God, you're doing it in the name of Jesus, right? You know, this whole 2 months we've been learning about Israelites, the Israelites, and we've been learning about who God is. Right? The lessons that the Israelites learned along the way are ones we also need to learn. Okay, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for speaking to us in a way where we can really understand and you can speak to us so that we know you are a God who loves us, that you are a God of truth, that you are a God of promises, and you are a God who provides. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us, that in the something that we may be good at, we can also serve you and give those things back to you, Lord. Help us to be able to know how to serve you in just little ways or big ways, Lord. But we pray that you would use us and that your Holy Spirit would move in us so that we can learn to serve you even at a young age. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Okay, so I'm just going to take a few minutes of my time while I'm up here. But I hope that for the rest of you guys, the adults, the bigger kids, I hope you're encouraged today to hear the message for the kids. And while it is a kids' church message, it also applies to each and every one of us. Do you agree? Yeah, of course, right? As simple as it is, serving is for everyone. And serving is not just for the big kids and the little kids, but God requires and God asks us to serve. So I want to encourage you this morning somehow to get involved, right? To get involved and to participate in children's ministry. If God has put that desire and that passion and that love for children in your heart, then I hope that that's something you can respond to. That's the something you can respond to. And so if you are interested at all, we're always needing teachers, we're always needing helpers, and we could always use more men and women to really set an example for the kids. And so I hope you can pray about it. And if you desire to serve in that way, definitely come talk to me.